Thank you very much. Dave is going to put a picture up on the PowerPoint. Does this look like anybody that you've had in Sunday school? These little children, bellies distended because they have no food, reaching out, not for the speaker, not to get candy, but to get a morsel of food, to get a drop of water. So desperate and so dependent on whoever's there. It's called famine. And where it comes in different countries, there are governments that probably don't considerably care. I was reading about the famine in the 1840s in Iceland. 750,000 people died while their government was exporting food. Imagine that? 750,000 died. They had the food. They just elected to export it instead of use it internally. And when I was dwelling on that in particular, thinking about it, I was thinking of the myriads of Christians throughout the centuries who have spent their life and times presenting the word, praying, testifying, but didn't realize that they themselves were starving. Did you know you can be starving? You can be a victim of famine very easily. The definition of famine is a two-season cycle, generally speaking, either with high prices or civil war and unrest, whatever the reasons are, they don't seem to agree on them. Two seasons. That means 2014, if we had those conditions, we could be in the same place. Would you think that in the United States? They didn't think it was going to happen there either. We can give out the word and still be starving. Why? Because we're not taking it in. Now, you can read the scripture, and I pray that you do, because it's fabulous. But there's a saying, I can read it, but I need it to read me. Otherwise, it does when there's so much water that comes and so much rain and everything's plugged up, what happens? All the water goes into flooding because it doesn't get tucked in to the person. The title of the message is The Famine You Never Heard Coming. So we're going to read the scripture from Amos, the 8th chapter, which was cited on one of Sandy's emails. And it's a great scripture. Please stand for the reading of the word. Let's read this together. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Not a famine of food or water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. That's serious. And God is sending it. That's the serious part. You may be seated. This is an interesting messenger God is sending. You would think when God sends a messenger, it's a messenger of hope, isn't it? It's supposed to be a messenger of life. Sometimes, all the nice things we say and all the encouragement we give is great, but it doesn't always shake us where we need to be shaken. And God has to get our attention. So the Bible says here, the days are coming. This is in the plural. The days, yamim, is the Hebrew word. When you have I am at the end, it's a plural. Otherwise, it'd be yom, it's the day, but it's the days that are coming. I liked what I read in the King James Version lexicon. It says, as the hours warm, as the day of the Lord comes, and Amos is the first one to really reveal that. That day, because remember, God doesn't dwell in time, so for him, it's just one day. And as the sun begins to warm, and it gets higher, and the Lordship of Christ begins to be revealed in a more powerful way in this world. The sun is going to be shining, the brightness of God is going to be powerful, and anybody that is not in the Word of God, that is not watered in the Word of God, that is not tucked into it, is going to be dried up. And you know what happens when you're dehydrated? You're in intensive pain, your organs shrink, and they tighten. And all kinds of other things happen to your body. And anybody that's ever experienced it says, yeah, that's what's going to happen. So the Lord is very serious here. The days are coming. We can begin to see them already, can't we? We can see a lot of things that are occurring. And it says, declares the sovereign Lord. This is Yahweh. This is God himself, the creative genius, and the personal name of God to his people, who's saying, when I will send a famine through the land. You think it breaks God's heart to do that? Do you think he enjoys that? I don't. He knows every hair on our head, or maybe more appropriately, the hairs that used to be there. But he knows it all. His heart breaks to put people in a place of distress. But sometimes it's the only way to wake people up. So he says it won't be a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing of the word of the Lord, of the words of God. Now, a lot of times we read this and we hear it and we automatically think it's a famine of the word, but it's not. You can get the Bible on Kindle. You can get it on your little nooks. You can get it in the bookstore still. You can even get it in churches. Imagine that. You can get it in the library. You can get it on your iPhone. In every translation. But check the translations, folks. Okay? Everything's easy access out there, but it's not necessarily biblical. You can get the Word of God anywhere. What's the concern here? It says, a famine of hearing it. Now, how many of you wives can say, you know, I can talk and talk and talk, and I know he listens, but I'm not sure he really heard it. You know when you can tell somebody heard something? Because they do something about it. I've told you the story of the guy who was in a receiving line and came to the first person, and the person said, oh, it's nice to see you, and he shakes their hand, and he goes, how are you? Well, I just killed my mother. Well, that's nice. Goes down through all the people, and they go, well, that's really nice. The last person shakes hand and says, how are you? Well, I just killed my mother. Ah, she probably deserved it. Not true, but He was listening. He heard it. How do we know when we've heard the Word of God, it stirs, it moves, and it begins to work in us? And we begin to sense deeper the purpose for which it was written. It's not a book written to make us feel good. That's not its ultimate purpose. It is to make God glorified and exalted. And in so doing, we will feel better because God will be in the place he deserves. So God is sending an interesting messenger here, a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. How many of you have read about this person who started this movement about Jesus coming back in May? Supposedly he was coming back May 21st, and when he didn't come, he had to adjust it. And he adjusted it to October 21st. He didn't come back then either. So now you know what he's saying? Because you know anybody that's got to try to save face is going to adjust the message. Now he's saying, well, anybody that accepted Christ after May 21st, because that's the real date of God's judgment. So anybody that accepted Christ after May 21st is not a Christian. Grace, even though Jesus didn't come back on the 21st of May, the grace was ended. Now you think about all the people that follow this delusion, who gave up jobs, who sold their homes, who did everything because they thought there was not going to be anything left here. And the worst part, beside the fact that they've lost their homes, they've probably lost their faith. Because they believed a delusion in something that's not in the Bible. Now, how are you going to know it's not in the Bible if you're not in the Bible? You can only know it when you're in it. And the Bible says in Romans that we are saved by the hearing of the Word of God. The hearing of it. It has to be heard in order to be in effect in our life. Now, why send such a strong message? Well, first of all, to show that ultimately man's hunger and void is always for God. I don't care what they need, and I don't care what they're coming for counseling for. Ultimately, everybody, we all do, need the Lord on the throne of our life. We don't need him in the side place. We don't need him picking up the rear. We need him in the headquarters. We need him in the throne room. That's where he alone will sit. Secondly, you can't know somebody. You can't have a full relationship with somebody you don't listen to and you don't talk to. Now, I've told you our line at home, which is true, and we've abided by this. November 1st, Vernie and I will be roommates for 30 years. And my classic line to her is, let me know when I should be listening. And that's the way we operate. She's somebody that needs to talk and continue to express it, which is fine. That doesn't bother me. And she actually doesn't want me to listen. That's the glory. But occasionally, I've got to be listening in case there's something important I've missed. That's the tricky part. But you can't have a full relationship with someone if you're not listening and if you're not talking. And I'm talking about talking appropriately at the time. Very often what we end up doing is we end up responding to a conversation of months ago in a conversation instead of talking at the actual conversation we're having. How many have ever experienced that? One or more of you is in a different conversation. We got to make sure, oh, are we talking about the same thing? Are we on the same date? Are we on the same page? Thankfully, God doesn't have any issues, so he's a perfect one to have a relationship with, actually. The prophet Amos is an interesting person. His name means burden bearer. You know what it's like to have a burden from the Lord that people don't understand, that the world will laugh at? Noah had that problem. And he couldn't tell anybody, and nobody would have understood it anyway, and he didn't even fully understand it. A burden bearer, but he was willing to bear that burden. And he wrote somewhere around 760 BC. He had no formal training, either in the prophetic sense or in any classic schooling. None. He was a farmer. He was a man of the soil. And the images in the book are of rural life, which gives you a little setting of the one he's talking about, Jesus, when he goes on to give our parables and the different things and the stories of the world and the earth that he created. Amos is an interesting person. Bible also says he didn't choose this for himself. God chose it. Because he's actually preaching to the northern kingdom and he's from the southern kingdom. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God doesn't choose us necessarily by our past when he gives us a future. Aren't you glad? Thank you, Jesus. Actually, sometimes he'll actually bring people forward in an area of ministry to people that they don't have anything in common with. Now there you need the Lord, don't you? I think a lot of times, you know, we obviously congregate toward people we understand a little better, which is understandable, and I don't believe God disallows it, but we tend to use our own wisdom then instead of God's perfect wisdom. And Amos knew he had to depend upon the Lord. He was a contemporary of Isaiah and Hosea, and so he had good company presenting the great word of the Lord. Now, the time in which he lived, both the northern and the southern kingdom were prosperous. It was a great time in that respect. But you know what happened? They became greedy. They turned their eyes away from the values that they knew to be true. And the prophets had to speak about it. Does it sound familiar? We're almost like the modern day Laodicea. You are rich in goods, and you have need of nothing. How do you like to be in a relationship with someone that doesn't need anything? How do you like that? You can't relate, you can't give, you can't share, because there's no receptor. The Lord wants a receptor. And so we're in a world that, frankly, doesn't know their need of God. They really do not. And it's not going to get better either. So how do we hear from God? Take that word hear and look inside it, and it's the word ear. I want to read August 14th devotional from that book that Dave espouses. The human ear is an engineering marvel. This tiny organ has the intricate workings of the most sophisticated microphone, telephone wiring system, and balancing mechanism known to man. Sound waves enter the ear and pass along a tube to the middle ear. Stretched across this tube is a thin membrane called the eardrum. And as the sound waves vibrate this thin tissue, the vibrations move the middle ear into the middle ear, where they move three small bones. Tiny muscles attached to the bones amplify the movement and allow the bones to pass the vibrations to another membrane called the oval window. And unlike the Oval Office, messages really do get through. This generates movement within a small liquid-filled spiral passage called the cochlea, which is filled with 25,000 auditory receptors. Imagine that. They pick up the vibrations and they transform them into electrical impulses. You're electrical, folks. Walk by a TV sometimes, see if you adjust the movement. We actually had a friend come over one time. This is many years ago, before all the advent of digital and stuff, and the TV wasn't working quite right, so laying on the floor so he'd adjust his legs just like a rabbit ears. And the picture came in perfect. I think he was extremely uncomfortable, but it was hilarious. Beside hearing, the ear also gives us our sense of balance because it is connected to three tubes called the semicircular canals. We need it all. You cannot be balanced if you're not hearing correctly. We've had a lot of balance issues in this church. Have you noticed? Thank God underneath are the everlasting arms. But there's a lot of balance issues. And when you go down, boom. Doesn't feel good. The nerve endings from these canals are also connected to the brain, and in cooperation with our muscles, allows us to balance properly. It's all working together. Think about the extraordinary work in the ear. I've always been more in tune to it because my dad, when he was a little boy, he had boils behind his ears and the doctors lanced them and ended up severing his nerves. And he could not hear. And we would have to speak to him very carefully. Being loud wasn't helpful, by the way. You had to speak in a good voice. And too many voices just put him into this. That's why the Bible talks about there's so many voices out there. Be careful. They will put you into a shutter. And if you don't know this book, you're easily touched by them. So the sound waves enter in and pass along to the middle ear first. Do you know everything that comes as a sound from heaven had one direction, went right to the middle cross, went right to the cross? That's where we get our first sound. Everything God wants to do comes through the cross and through his sacrifice for us. There are people in this world, and there are Christians, who think we have to get past the cross. That's in the old days. That's the old thing. I got news for you. Without the cross, you don't have a future. Absolutely. That is the most important thing. That is where the connection comes to begin with. And then the vibrations begin to move through in the different areas. When the Word of God is read, and it goes into your ear and into your spirit, the only way you can really hear it is if you listen to the Holy Spirit. He's the movement of the Godhead. He is the one that takes that sound and brings it through your entire being. And he is so powerful, you can hear a whisper from heaven. And he's so gentle and can fit into those small areas in our life that no one else can get to. And he can speak. When Jerry goes out to talk to people and adjust their hearing aids, I'm sure he does one of these. Can you hear me? Do you know sometimes the Holy Spirit comes to us just to see if we can hear? Are you listening to me? I want you to talk to that person. But Lord, that seems odd. He's from the Northern Kingdom. God wants to see if we're listening, even if it seems odd. Now, always keep in mind we need to keep a balance. If the Holy Spirit, or if what you perceive as the Holy Spirit tells you to do something that's against this book, it ain't the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the Holy Spirit does not mind when you question him. Say, Lord, I'm not sure. I just want to be sure. What he doesn't care for is when we reject him outright or dismiss him. You know how you can tell it's a relationship? Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit can get grieved. Have you ever talked to somebody that's just grieved in their spirit? You can tell their spirit has fallen. You can see it. Generally can see it if you're watching. Holy Spirit is so tender and loves us so much that in our relationship through the Word, we can hurt Him. But He doesn't take it personally, folks. He's willing to restore us. I'm so glad. Did you know God doesn't have a memory? He doesn't keep our past against us? Don't you love it when you talk to somebody and they go, and another thing, you know, 25 years ago on Tuesday, you did this. Hey, I'm lucky I remember yesterday. And if it wasn't for the fact that I remember the smell of the sewer water, I wouldn't have known that neither. People that remember all things in the back aren't looking forward. God wants us to go forward. And so, in this traveling center, this ear, the sound, the Holy Spirit takes that word and He wants a relationship with us. What does the Bible say? The Holy Spirit says, come. What is the Spirit saying to the church? He's the one that is the sound. He is the movement of the Trinity. He is the one that will bring us into a place of hearing. And if you understand fully the fact that God is not looking to make us clones of each other, but disciples of Jesus Christ, we each have our own relationship to the Master. And you will, as you grow in Him, understand more fully how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. I can tell when He's really emphasizing something. Now, I won't say that on occasion He doesn't flip me a surprise, because He'll do that too. But that's okay. He's patient. He just wants us to know He's there and to listen to Him. It's important, as the Word of God is presented, as you study it personally or in Bible study or wherever you are, that we understand the Holy Spirit dispenses it. Because when you're in famine, your body is so weak, you can't even lift your hand up to eat. You can't even barely breathe. I think I told you the story of back in the days of World War II when the camps were liberated. And the soldiers were just trying to be helpful at one of the concentration camps, and saw the malnutrition, and saw the distended stomachs, and saw all of this horror. And they gave them candy bars because they wanted to feed them. And the amazing thing, and sad to say, is that what absolute evil couldn't do to kill these people, sugar did, because their bodies were so weak. An enormous amount of people died because of that. When you're really weak or you're really distressed, I would suggest you don't read Revelation, but read the Scripture carefully. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. That's the relationship. We're not just, it'd be like going into Cub and just pulling up a chair and sitting at the shelves. Well, I'm eating. Forget the fact some of it's in a can, you know. We need the Holy Spirit to unwrap things, and we need Him to feed us, and we need Him to heal us as we're in the Word of God. That's absolutely important, because when this famine comes of the hearing of the Word, which I believe we're into, there are people that are going to say, I can quote the Bible, I know it front to back, which is great. That'd be wonderful. I think you should. But the real value of the Bible is to know the author, like any other book. Know the author. If you understand the author, you'll understand the words at least as much as we can in our human life. The picture of those little children in famine is distressing, and it's part of a wider picture of people that migrate and leave their homes and leave their livelihood because they're looking for something. And I'm sure the better part of them are found wanting and die while they're waiting because there's nowhere else they can go. And if you don't think that that kind of spiritual famine cannot take over a country and cannot take over people, you are mistaken. Thank God the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. Aren't you glad? I'm extraordinarily grateful that He actually wants to talk to us. And you know what? He has a personalized plan for you. He's not giving us necessarily the same program because we're all at different places, and He knows that. Let Him give you His personal ministry. And it comes right from the throne, folks. It's pure. It's not sullied. It's powerful. It's the best place to receive it from, isn't it? We don't have to wonder who's been trifling with it. Now Dave's going to put something else up there. Statistics don't lie. How to stay safe in the world today? Where is the safest place? Well, avoid riding in automobiles because they're responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. Do not stay home because 17% of all accidents occur in the home, which is why we have different birth rates. 3, avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. 4, avoid traveling by air, rail, or water because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. 5, of the remaining 33%, 32% of all deaths occur in hospitals. So above all else, avoid hospitals. But you'll be pleased to learn that only 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services. And they are usually related to previous physical disorders. Therefore, logic tells us that the safest place for you to be at any given point in time is at church. And Bible study is safe too. The percentage of deaths during Bible study is even less. So attend church, read your Bible. It'll save your life. A lot of truth in that, isn't there? It really is. And when you read it, let it read you. See what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Some of the greatest things as a believer, as I was growing as a Christian, was this: when I realized that the Lord could speak to me. To me, it was the greatest thing. Absolutely. And He's the one who wants to talk to you. Please bow your heads. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You today thinking of those pictures of the famine, which are horrible, and we pray for every famine and every circumstance that brings people to that such a place of despair, and governments that are so busy building their own equity that they forget about the important and the most important valuable item they have, which are their people. But Father, there is a greater famine coming. And people won't hear it because they're not listening. It will not be something they can visually see. It will be something that's devoid in their life. And I pray, Lord, for our church and for all people that name the name of Christ, that we would hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, not only as a church, but individually. That's the life-changing word. That's what makes the difference. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're here today and you'd say, I might be one of those people in famine. I wouldn't have characterized it that way, but I don't even have enough strength, I don't think, to reach out and get a Bible sometimes. I don't want to be one of the victims of famine. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. And you'd say with an upraised hand, I want to hear what the Spirit of God says to me, and I want to go deeper in that relationship. Because He died to give it to me. And you raise your hand so I can pray for you. Hallelujah, Father. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that for these that have raised their hands, that you would clear out in the ear canal of listening to this world or to themselves or maybe not even anywhere. Clear the passageway to maybe hear the first time, you're my child and I love you. I want to use you. Go talk to that person. They need me this minute. That's the way the Word of God does its finest. And in this greed-filled world in which we live, we want to be different. We want to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you'd minister your Word deep into our being, that it would spring up to glorify you and to reach people for the gospel, because the days are coming and people won't know what hit them. We want to hear it. Even sometimes, Holy Spirit, when you correct us, it's not pleasant, but it's necessary. Help us to hear what the Spirit says to us. And honor your word, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please stand.
Change and
as we close, remember that the altar is open if you need to meet with the Lord. I know sometimes we say, well, I'll do it later, but then things come up and we don't. If the Lord is tugging on your spirit, feel free to come up here. People will pray with you if you want. And then as we close, I'm going to ask again, if somebody senses in their spirit to close in prayer, please do that. We will agree with you.
Fill us with your word, Lord.